Good morning. Welcome to our service this morning. I try. Let me read to you from Acts 2, verses 25 to 28. It's part of Peter's sermon after Pentecost. And he's talking about Jesus and quoting from Psalm 16. He said, David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Let's pray. As we come on this special day to join together in celebration and witness to your resurrection, Lord, would you grant us a knowledge of your presence and your new life? May we recognise you with us in the prayers, the songs, the word, the action and the fellowship with others. May this service be a time of blessing and encounter. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bible study returns on Wednesday at 8 o'clock on Zoom. Is Thursday study on?
Thursday, yes.
Thursday is also on, that's good. That's good. With that in mind, shall we sing our first hymn, unless anyone wants to shout that there's any more family news? And I've missed birthdays. Are there any birthdays this week? No? Okay. All good. All good, Mike. We'll sing our first hymn, He Has Risen. And during this hymn, we'll take up this morning's offering. If you haven't come prepared for the offering, that's fine. Just let the bags pass you by.
When the Lord rises.
sound of minor trumpets. From the grave we shall arise. He has risen. He has risen. He has risen. Jesus is alive. He has given life immortal. We shall see him face to face. Through eternity we'll praise him. Christ the champion of our faith. He has risen. He has risen. He has risen. Jesus is alive. He has risen.
Lord, we praise you because you have risen. Death defeated. We come today to worship and praise. And Lord, as we think of the gifts that you have given to us, the gifts of new life, of hope, of a future, but the material gifts as well. We thank you for that. And Lord, we pray that you will accept our offerings as our gifts back to you. Would you enable them to be used wisely for your glory? In Jesus' name. Amen. We continue in prayer. As we pray for those we know, we love, who need the Lord's help. Do we have any prayer requests that are on our thing today? Okay, let's pray
today. Over the fields, the forest. Which had kept him
away. Lord, we lift these people to you. Some members of our congregation, some known to us. Some known to one or two of us. But we come together in prayer to ask for your touch on their lives. In healing, in love, in comfort. And Lord, we pray for wider situations. We pray for the ongoing situation in Ukraine, for a transformation of the minds of the leaders of this conflict, that they might move towards peace. We pray for leaders throughout the world who are working for resolution. We pray for those in Ukraine who have lost loved ones, homes, livelihood, those who have been forced to flee and those who have no choice but to stay. May they know your strength. And may they find some sort of hope for their future. As they consider the message of Easter, where death and evil was defeated and resurrection and new life proclaimed, may they see in that message a truth for their own lives. We pray too for those in Russia who have lost loved ones in the conflict, perhaps not even understanding the truths of what's going on. Lord, we pray for them in their grief. And we pray that the truth might be known in that country. We pray too for conflicts elsewhere in the world. Not as publicised in our news, but just as painful to those who are involved. Lord, we long for the day when the world is at peace. when your kingdom of love and justice would reign throughout the earth. Bless those who are doing your work in these situations, and enable us too to know how we can seek to build your kingdom on earth. Amen. Let's sing again, shall we? Christ the Lord is risen today.
I'm Essex born and bred. I grew up in, well, I was born in Barking, grew up in the South End area, then was called into ministry, went to Spurgeon's, And then I've been the minister for 9 years down at Cranham Baptist Church, down in Upminster, so just a bit further down the 127. God's always got other plans, and he called me into regional ministry, so I moved to Wickford, slightly a little bit further down the 127, and started the role on the 1st of November. So I bring greetings to you from the Eastern Baptist Association, a family of over 177 Baptist churches within the eastern part of the UK. Norfolk, Suffolk, Cambridgeshire and Essex. And so my predecessor Nick, I basically pick up where he left off, and I oversee the south, the best part of Essex, is what I say, but it's really good to be with you. So I come this morning to bring God's word and to bring chocolates. Yeah, I thought that'd get you guys' ears pricked up. So can I have three volunteers who like chocolate? Yeah, come on down. There will probably be enough for all, but I just need initially three volunteers. Fantastic. Wow, you ran down, didn't you? I love it. Okay, so, as we know, Easter isn't all about chocolate, but I truly believe that God has given us the gift of chocolate to enable us to help think about the Easter story. Do you agree with me?
Yes.
Great. You are amazing. So, I would like to take us back about 2,000 years to that first Easter morning. And I think it was probably a bit of a confusing time. The women had gone to the tomb and they expected to go... They expected to go and take spices and to put them on Jesus' body, but that isn't what they found. There were lots of people who expected to find one thing, but found something completely different. So I have brought some chocolate, which may not be what it appears and advertises itself to be. So, number one, as you were the really keen one, running as if you were running to the tomb on Easter morning. Right, so Smarties. Do you like Smarties?
No.
Oh. Do any of you like Smarties? Come on in. Right, okay. We'll leave you for... I hope, well, there's... Have a look at this. Right, tell me what is meant to be in there. What does it say? Okay, a Smarties egg filled with Smarties. Go for it. Open it up. The suspense in the room, I love it. Well, so, Smarties egg filled with Smarties, and what have you found? No Smarties in the egg. Dun, dun, dun. Or in the box. Do you think there was a mistake at the factory? Maybe. No? You think you took them out? You've never met before, but you definitely know me. Yes, and they have already been eaten, I hasten to add. Wow! You know, completely empty. Just like that tomb on that first Easter morning. Proof that Jesus was alive. You know, later, Jesus' friends, met him in the garden. Mary thought that he was a gardener, but Jesus had revealed himself to her. He met them along the road on the way to Emmaus, and he even cooked them breakfast on the beach. You know, many people over the years find the empty tomb as evidence of Jesus rising. But then they meet him for themselves and discover that what we are celebrating this weekend is complete and utter truth. Fantastic. So, went to the tomb, didn't find what they wanted. Happy Easter. Enjoy the chocolate. But don't eat it all and spoil your lunch. Good. Otherwise your mum would be on me. Right, okay, mini eggs. Go for it. Open it up. Open that one. Just work with me here. Just work with me. Right, okay. So, what should be the contents of the mini eggs? You reckon there'll be mini eggs inside the big egg? Right, okay, go for it.
It said grow.
Quick. The it'll be melting. Okay. You dropped it on the floor. Best pick it up. Okay. And what was in the egg? A chick. Well, what else would you find in an egg? Huh? You know, at Easter, we truly celebrate new life. It's the season of spring. We see the trees starting to blossom. We see the flowers starting to peek through. We have lovely warm weather. Woohoo! Thank you, God, for this beautiful weather we've been celebrating and having this weekend. You know, I think spring is an exciting time because new things happen. But it's the new life of Easter which I think is even more exciting. Now, when those women went to the tomb, they were not expecting to find life at all. They had seen Jesus' dead body laid in that tomb on that Friday. So when we think about new life that Jesus had risen from the dead, we can also think about the new life that we can have if we accept him as Saviour and Lord. Thank you very much. Take a seat.
Take the chick.
You can take the chick. Go for it. You can even take the cardboard box. Fantastic. Go for it. I know. Don't say I'm not generous. Right. Okay. Right. One left. All no expenses spared. Tell me what should be in this egg, the final egg. Okay, so the contents, creamy, crunchy, truffly, I don't think that's a word, but well, never mind, with a white chocolate hollow egg and chocolate truffles. Yum. Go for it.
Hmm?
Yum, I know, they sound good. Right, go for it. So that hasn't been affected at all. Don't touch that. Open that. So in this box where there should be Maltese truffles, what is in there? Just bring it. I know, it is. Anything else? And £10. Now, I'm a poor Baptist minister, so you can have the chocolate, but I'm not giving you the £10. If that's all right with you. So there should have been white Maltese truffles, but instead there were also Kit Kat bunnies and jelly, sweetie, jelly chick things. Fantastic. Lovely. Okay. Go for it. You've definitely got to share that around. Okay, there is chocolate for all, so make sure, if all the chocolate's been eaten by the end of the service, you know, have words, rest of the family. You know, that is exactly what wasn't written on that box. In fact, it was something even better. Yeah, those white Maltese and truffles sounded pretty good, didn't they? But there was money, there was sweets, there were so many good things. Now, I truly believe that God loves to surprise us. He gives us more than we could ever imagine. You know, that first Easter Sunday, his friends expected to find a dead body, but they had the most wonderful surprise ever. And because Jesus is alive, we get something more wonderful too, a brand new life. Life eternal. So when we die, we go to live with him forever. And that's what we celebrate today. Not Jesus' death, but he is alive. Let's pray. We thank you, Father God, that you raised your son Jesus from the dead. And that his life means that we can too live with him forevermore. Lord, I pray for those who haven't yet discovered that he is alive today. That this weekend is just a weekend to eat chocolate and to do DIY, to have time off work. And we pray that they will know the true evidence of that empty tomb and meet with him. Amen. Thanks for that.
And well done for figuring out how to get my children to come and volunteer, because, you know, it's been a long time since I've been able to get them up the front to volunteer to try anything. Chocolate is the answer. As we come in a minute to our time of communion, we're going to go back a bit. I know today is about resurrection, but we're going to skip back a little bit to Thursday and Friday when we remember not the joy of his resurrection, but the pain of his death. And we're going to sing, "I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene." Christian festival. Surely there's no better time to remember Jesus' death. Others will say, hang on, surely on Easter Sunday we're celebrating the resurrection, not the cross. We shared communion on Maundy Thursday as we remembered the Last Supper. Today should be about life rather than death. And I can see both sides of that argument, and I'm going to try and draw a middle line. Because we celebrate communion not as those disciples at the Last Supper before the crucifixion, but we celebrate it post-resurrection. We celebrate it as a meal with our living Lord, who did die but was then raised to life and lives and reigns with his Father. Perhaps today in particular, we might celebrate it as the disciples who met with Jesus on the road to Emmaus after he was raised from death, who invited him as a stranger they'd met on the road to eat with them. And it was only as he gave thanks and broke the bread with them that they recognised him for who he was. So as we share this more symbolic meal today, may we too have the eyes of our hearts open to recognise the presence of our Lord Jesus with us. We remember his death, we celebrate his resurrection, and we look forward to his coming again. So as we come to the table, remember it is not I who invite you, but Jesus. He invites now as he invited in his life. the lost, the lonely, the weary, the wanderer, the sick, the sinful. He asks only that you know him for who he is, your Saviour and Lord. As we come, let us in a time of quiet acknowledge him, acknowledge before him our brokenness, our sin and our failures. Perhaps at the end of this time you'll join me in saying the words of the Jesus Prayer. If you don't know it, simple words, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. I meant to put it on the screen, but I forgot. So let's just, in a time of quiet, come before God. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Have mercy upon each of us. We thank you for your forgiveness offered at the cross. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for this table, for the remembrance of your death and of your resurrection. For these gifts of bread and wine, symbols of your body and blood which were given for us. As we share in this meal of celebration, would you bind us together in a covenant of love with one another and with you. Amen. Now I'm going to move this over this way, just because I've got a cough and I don't want to end up coughing all over the table. I'm going to do my bit over here and stay away from all your bread and wine, okay? Could I ask, let me think, Kevin, is Kevin around? And Marley, would you mind coming and serving communion for me? Because I know it's easy, all you have to do is take it round, yeah? So just wait for me and I'll give it to you when it's done. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We'll eat the bread as we receive it, remembering that Christ died for each one of us. After supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." When you receive the cup, hold on to it until everyone's been served, and then we'll drink together as a sign of our fellowship in the covenant. Thank you. all lads, whenever you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So let's drink together. We proclaim that Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. And Lord, we thank you for feeding and nourishing us with the bread and wine, symbols of your love and sacrifice. May they give strength not just to our bodies but to our spirits as we receive from you in faith. Would you fill us by your Holy Spirit to love and serve you until you return. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Debbie's going to bring this morning's reading to us.
On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners to be crucified, and on the third day will be raised again.'" Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened.
So we're going to sing again. See what a morning.
Hold in the rainbow.
children are going to leave us in a moment. Just a reminder, because I forgot, that there is a box at the back for the communion offering. It's a communion morning, if you've come, want to give your communion offering, which is for those in need in the fellowship. Feel free to put that in the box at the back. Let's pray for the children as they go. Father, thank you for bringing so many children into the church this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to speak to them of the good news of Easter. Just pray that as they go out to their Sunday school, that you would give them a good time, that they would learn something of you. Would you bless them and bless their teachers? And Lord, as Claire comes to bring your word to us, would you bless her? May she know the anointing of your Holy Spirit and speak your words. And Lord, would you give us ears to hear? In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning, I want us to find ourselves in Jerusalem on that early Easter. So as I speak for the next few moments, you may find it helpful to close your eyes. As long as you don't go to sleep, if the person next door to you starts snoring, give them an elbow. But just so perhaps you don't have any distractions, and I want you to use your imaginations this morning to see what it perhaps was like on that first Easter morning. It's strangely quiet in the streets. It was the blackest hour, the one before the dawn, but also the brightest, for even in the darkness, day is stirring. The light winding its way around the world, waiting to break into it. And other sounds accompany them. Somewhere a rooster screams at the impending day. Everywhere birds are beginning to cackle and chirp, marking out their territory. They can even smell the morning. The tang of thyme and wild garlic hang in the air besides the paths they hurry down. There are a few guards around, but they don't bother them. They'd feared trouble over Passover, but women on their way somewhere, walking with a sense of purpose, that doesn't disturb them. These women don't look like insurrectionists. They simply look like they're late for an appointment. They have about them the air of someone in a hurry. But deep within, it is very different. They are propelled by resignation. They have a date with duty, and all it recalls is all that is lost. The signs of the approaching day are just a ghastly reminder that everything is the same as it was yesterday. The whole world circling ever closer to its own demise. Their pace slows a little. They are now outside the city. Nearly at the garden, nearly at the place where he is laid. They're walking where they'd walked on that day of unimaginable horror, climbing that steep path towards Golgotha, the place of the skull. The tomb was being watched. They knew that. They had followed the body as Sabbath fell, wanting to see him safe in his stone-cold tomb, his final resting place. And they were told that there would be guards there, fearful that someone might steal the body away, afraid that they'd storm his grave like a fortified city and take them home themselves. all sorts of practical questions fill their minds. Will the soldiers let them through? Will they help them move the stone so that they can go in? They catch their breath as they reach the summit. The garden is to their left, a peaceful place stretching to the west of the city. It is a beautiful place full of flowers and colour. Here they are. Here is the place. Here he is. They pause at the entrance, their hearts beating quickly. Almost there. Just this one last thing to do. It's almost over. They then rush into the garden, suddenly sensing the awfulness of it all. Unaware, unknowing, and in a moment, they behold it. The guards are gone, nowhere to be seen. The stone isn't in place, it's been rolled away. There's a fire still smouldering, and one man has left his cloak. It's as if they ran away at speed and carelessly. The tomb is abandoned. Mary leads as she steps down into the tomb, staring in horror. It is hideously apparent what has happened. His body has been seized by some overconfident band of stupid zealots. It is also deeply frightening. There will be more controversy, more scandal. The temperature will begin to rise again. Will it ever be over? They look to the left and to the right, searching for any traces of where he might be or who might be close by. But they are alone. A cold fear, even more dreadful than the fears of the night, grips their hearts. Even the opportunity for a last kindness has been stolen. And in that second, an overwhelming despair rises within them. There really is no meaning left. They stand in front of the tomb. Standing still, but deep unrest convulses their spirit. Tears smudge their faces. And there is a crash. The jug of oil and spices falls to the ground, oil running out, and the fragrance fills the chamber. It is difficult to say what they then saw. There was something there, certainly someone. They scared the life out of them, so bright they couldn't even look at them. Why do you look for the living among the dead? It was as if those words had been spoken to them, and yet it was as if they couldn't hear them. They think there can't be a mistake. They had seen Jesus die, but there was nothing more they wanted in this world and the world beyond than there had to have been a mistake, a nightmare, a reversible horror. But it wasn't. They had seen the blood. They had seen his heavy, lifeless body. His spirit wasn't in that body. It was dead as stone. And yet, why do you look for the living among the dead? They stand at the mouth of the tomb, that place of death. The stone rolled to one side, the cloths, his grave clothes, the long white body covering, the strip that had held it in place, and the headcloth. It all lay as neatly as if placed on his bed. Surely if someone had stolen the body, they would have taken the cloth. Who would want to carry a dead, naked body through the city? And even if they did, who would take the time to fold the cloth and lay it so neatly? Whose hand had done this? Who had done this? They think back over the years they had known him. They think of the child offering his small supply of bread and fish, transformed into food for a multitude of hungry people, a crowd of longing. They think of a man who'd lost his little girl, brought back from death to life. They think of what they'd heard from Peter of a calm storm and stilled waves. They think of other miracles, of lives restored in other ways, of bent bones straightened, a man lifted from his bed to walk home, of blind eyes seeing, a man weeping from the wonder of the first time of seeing the world through tears. They think of the lost and the shamed and the shunned, found and loved and looked at with the eyes of love, which didn't turn away, which didn't cast the first stone to condemn a life of sin. And they think of Lazarus and the look on his face. If an angel speaks, why would he lie? If an angel is, then there are things we don't know and can't see, but sometimes glimpse. If an angel is a glimpse, then there is something more. If there is something more, then nothing is impossible. Could this be truly possible? It's only minutes since they were walking up the narrow streets, since they'd passed the soldiers, since they'd reached the garden gate, and everything, everything had changed. Can the impossible be possible? Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. Those words came back like a crashing flood. All those times he had said that the Son of Man must die, that the Son of Man will be handed over, that the Son of Man will rise again. The Son of Man will rise again on the third day. Friday, day one. Saturday, day two. Sunday. Could it truly be? They look at one another with revelation in their eyes. What should be done? Who should be told? How would anyone believe this? Voices of hope flutter between them. A light in the way small flames are. A breath could snuff them out. And yet, they knew what they'd seen. They had seen an angel and heard his voice of fire. The city is beginning to shine. The light spills from the horizon. More birds are beginning to sing. The sun has risen. He has risen. And so they run. They run with joy as fast as their legs could carry them, straight back to where their friends were hiding. He's alive, alive, I tell you, just as he said. What do you mean, alive? Their questions come like arrows towards them. He was dead, no question about that. What were they playing at, claiming that he was alive? They didn't seriously expect any of us to swallow it, surely. Jesus, alive? You're making it up. They would have liked to have believed it. Of course they would. But it's nonsense. Anyone could see that. And anyway, women are not trustworthy witnesses. But Peter was gone, still feeling sick to his stomach with forbidding guilt. Why had he allowed his own self-preservation to rule that night? He'd hardly slept a wink since that cruel, lurid day. And yet, he ran, like an Olympic sprinter towards the finish line. He weaved through the streets of the city, towards the gate, towards the garden. He knew these women well enough to give their stories some credence. And he remembered something that Jesus had said, something that led him to hope that the story he'd just heard was more than nonsense. Entering the garden, the smell of orange blossom fills the air, filling his nostrils, his heart beating, caught in the moment of highest excitement and yet vain throbbing terror. He bends down, scrambling on his hands and knees, blinking as his eyes adjust to the light. And there they are, the empty grave clothes, the empty tomb. He isn't dead. He is alive. It was just as they'd said. Why was there any doubt? He was back, just as they'd given up all hope. It wasn't defeat. It was victory. He was alive, and everything was going to be okay. Let us pray. Mighty God, we praise you for the great surprise of Easter. Your transformation of what had seemed to be the end into a new beginning. Your turning of what had seemed the triumph of evil into the victory of love. We praise you for the way you changed the lives of Christ's first followers, turning sorrow into celebration, doubt into faith, questions into answers, confusion into confidence, and darkness into light. Forgive us that we too, like the disciples arriving at the tomb, are sometimes deceived by appearances. We make judgments based on our own limited assumptions, and we lose faith when life doesn't measure up to our expectations. We imagine we have all the answers, and we are frightened when we find we have not. We would reject truths that do not fit in with our view of the world, and then are puzzled when we cannot make sense of things. Forgive us, Lord, for doubting your love, for losing sight of your purpose, for questioning your power. Forgive us for ignoring your promises, for diminishing your greatness, for forgetting that your ways are not our ways, nor your thoughts our thoughts. Lord, we pray for all those unable to make sense of the situations they find themselves to be in, their hope shattered by their experiences of life, those who are anxious, fearful, disillusioned, faced perhaps by inexplicable suffering, sorrow, or evil, or having lost their homes, their employments, their livelihoods, their loved ones, those afflicted by disease, disaster, those exploited and oppressed, deprived of their basic human dignity. We remember again the people of Ukraine. May the surprise of Easter burst afresh into their lives and our own, revealing new possibilities of life, and a new dimension to your love, giving you meaning to each day and every moment, bringing you strength and opportunities, offering you hope for the future and renewed purpose for the present. May this day we celebrate teach us to expect the unexpected. In the name of the risen and victorious Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing our final hymn together. Thine be the glory.
Not dead, he is alive. Amen.
Amen. Amen.